G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to 5 years now, your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. I hope you all went out last weekend and enjoyed local pro wrestling. We need to support it. It is our lifeblood. It is what this mission of this show is all about. I was at Venom Pro Wrestling, had a really fun night with there, good crowd. Hated me, so, you know, that's kind of what we wanted. But, yeah, good show. Great main event with Tim Cade and Australian Wolf, so hats off to those two boys for that one. And also, behind the scenes things, you guys probably don't even see on the Venom Pro. I don't know if I don't think they promoted it at all, but they handed out their end of the year awards, and I was lucky enough to grab three of them, so I'd like to thank you guys for that one. MVP I grabbed because I managed to tag team Anti-Venom, and also Feud of the Year for our storyline with Venom and Anti-Venom. So I just want to thank Venom Pro Wrestling Management for that, and really enjoy going out and working that crowd and working the people that rock up to the Beanley Bowls Club and the Sportsman's Club down at Yatala, Showman's Club down at Yatala. Be good if I knew the actual words of it. And just want to thank everyone for that. It's been my pleasure to be able to work with guys like Lynx Lewis Jr., the Renegade, Xander Sullivan, JL Gold, Jackson Cross, of course Jake Nova, who I work with all the time, all of those guys, Alex Shepard, who's now come back, which is great to see. I love Alex. All of those guys are the future of wrestling up here in Queensland, and you all should get behind them because they are really, really good people and really, really good workers. And if we can get behind them, support them, the sky is the limit for wrestling up here in Queensland. And that's something that is a real passion of mine, is to try and bring Queensland wrestling back to the prominence it was a few years ago. Anyway, let's move on to my guest for this week. He is a guy I've had on a couple of times now and always love having a chat with him because he is one of the smartest minds in the business. That is, of course, Jack Bonzer. We sit down and talk about the stuff he's got coming up, the New Japan tryouts he was on for the Fale Dojo, all the stuff he's got with World Series Wrestling coming up with their matches against SCU. Great chat with the guy. Again, it was a last minute sort of thing because I had there was a guest I was planning on. It sort of fell through. So luckily I was able to give a call to Bonzer, and he got on the phone and had a chat with me. And that's right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of
I am joined by a favourite of the show, Jack J. Bonzer. How are you today, mate?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm very, very good. I've got to ask, like, Jack J. Bonzer, is that got anything to do, because I know you're a big comic book fan, has it got anything to do with, like, J. Jonah Jameson?
No, it's it's John J. Rambo.
Oh! Of course. And I was only watching First Blood the other night too.
Yeah, right.
Oh, there you go.
And then whenever anybody asks me what the J stands for, I tell them J. like the Simpsons.
Beautiful. You've been busy down in Sydney for the last couple of weeks. You had the Invictus tournament last weekend. You've got Fight for Black Metal this weekend. Just tournaments going everywhere in Newcastle or in Sydney area this month.
Yeah, that's right. The Newcastle one, I think it might be the sixth or seventh year we've had it. And the PWA one, it's a combination of the first ever Coliseum tournament, so it's pretty exciting.
Mm. And that one was a bit different, wasn't it? Because you had, correct me if I'm wrong, was it the Invictus tournament, was it like a tag team and then a female competitor, or was it just happened to be that because you have a lot of the intergender matches?
No, so the basic concept of the tournament since about the third year of its inception is that, oh, that's the beginning. Because Newcastle Pro, it has a heavyweight champion and a middleweight champion. So the idea was that each tag team would have a heavyweight and a middleweight. And then that way, when you won, each competitor got a shot at one of the titles.
Yep.
And since we added the women's championship this year, we made it the trios tournament, and then the woman, the female competitor of the team, would get a shot at the women's championship.
Ah, I see.
So, because Newcastle Pro doesn't have the tag team championship, we've never really been able to justify it, just because there's not enough. It can be difficult when there aren't enough tag teams around.
You would basically be like four nations, and then invitees coming in all the time, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting better now. Like, we've got improved. Like, we've got, you know, the Velocities, you got One Direction, you had SMS.
Babes.
You have the Babes. So there are a few more coming through. I'll give them the prefix. And then when we invite teams from other places, like, we had the Brat Pack as well. So, yeah, you kind of, we can expand it. But, yeah, the basic idea was that way it would give something big for tag teams to strive towards every year. But then also, it had something on the line, but it still reflected on the singles championships.
Yeah, and it's also a good way to not have to defend titles every show, because you get that sort of that break where the you're not blowing through challenges, and you can also.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I think it's very boring when every show has a championship defense. It stops them from being special.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like I was saying, a lot of the time. To the guys at Newcastle, at least, is that the reason why tournaments are so exciting, it's the same reason as why Rumbles are exciting, is because most of the time in a championship match, you kind of expect the champion to retain, especially when they're retaining their belts, you know, every single month. And, like, you know that the champion's probably not going to lose it the first defense. Like, yeah. it just doesn't work that way. So when you have a tournament or something, especially with something on the line that's important, like a championship but not a championship, it's like you're guaranteed to have a title change. It's like you're guaranteed to have a new champion. And you don't. There's something on the line, but you really don't have any inkling about which team is going to win because it's something new. It's the same as having a rumble, like to crown the number one contendership. It's something special, but you know it's not going to be the champion retaining. It's got to be someone fresh because, you know, someone new every time.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're founded Newcastle. Yeah, we've had a lot of success, and the idea of the middleweight championship and heavyweight championships were that you could have the middleweight championship 1 month while we built a contender for the heavyweight.
Yep.
And the next month we could have a heavyweight title defense, and then we build a champion for the middleweight. And then every third month there was, you know, the Kings of the Castle, like the Invictus tournament, or there was the Rumble, or there was our cage match, or there was a TLC match or something. So that we kind of have that. Every 3 months, like it rotated.
Yep.
So a title match or something like that always felt special.
Yeah, and you're not, like I said before, it's hard storyline wise to have a challenger every show as well.
Yeah.
Also going into you and the Four Nations, even you've got a massive call up for the World Series Wrestling. With you guys against SCU coming up on the tour, that's going to be one of those dream matches you've been looking for.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one, actually. So, yeah, that was one of those cool ones that we had a lot of requests from fans ahead of time, and I think that's what kind of leaned it in that direction. So, promoters, do listen. If you guys get on Twitter and Facebook and start commenting and asking for certain things, wherever possible, they will give you what you want. So thanks everyone for that. That was a really cool one.
Yeah. So which show is that going to be at? The one of the Sydney?
That's on Hurstville, I believe. That's okay. On the Sunday one at Sydney.
Okay. So there you go. You get your tickets for that one to see. That's an absolute dream match when you're talking an Aussie faction, if you will, against one of the best factions around the world, SCU and the Four Nations. I can't wait to hopefully catch that, at least on DVD.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're especially, that's one of those things that because every couple of years, especially since probably Four Nations have been around for like 6 or 7 years now. And every single time we always get, oh, it's probably time for you guys to break up, or it's probably time for this to happen or something like that. And we're always just kind of like, mate, the only way you get good as a tag team is if you practice day in and day out. And if, you know, if we broke up, if we stopped being the Four Nations, we've lost years of experience with a tag team partner. Like, we can get in there with anyone at any point in time and we can just go without any real build up or practice, because we all know each other that well.
Yeah.
it's just one of those things that I think people have been trained by WWE to think that tag teams last for a year and they break up and fight each other. Whereas, you know, if you look back in the 80s when the indies and stuff really were the thing, like the Four Horsemen were together for years. You know, they never had any interest in breaking up. Like, look at the Freebirds. Like, you just, in order to get really, really good as a team, like, yeah, look at the Dudleys, like, you know, the Hardys. Like, you, when you don't break guys up, that's when they start to get really good. So that's how you create stuff. Like, we had the Four Nations in King of Trios last year. And we did so well because we knew each other so well. And then the same with SCU. Like, you couldn't have a dream match with three guys who have never tagged together before. It just wouldn't be, it wouldn't be interpreted the same way. It wouldn't feel special.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Also with the Four Nations, you had Tama Williams come back from age. How long has he been out for? And now he's back in Newcastle Pro. That's awesome.
Yeah, he was one of the originals. He's been out since about 6 months after we started. So that was, that was news to me. I don't know about that one. But, yeah, the Yellow Nation made an appearance. I don't think it's going to last long.
No. He's also the reason why the RCW don't use white mats anymore.
You marked up your mats with the body paint?
Didn't you, though? Marked it up something shocking. this past weekend was the New Japan Farley Dojo tryouts, and you had a lot of your yourself and a lot of your students go to and attend that tryout. How was it? How did it go?
Yeah, it was really good. It's really strong. We have a lot of faith in our training school and our training class. Like, we're world class down there. Like, honestly, they do a tryout and they're pretty physically intensive. They get you to do all different squats and push ups and stuff like that. But I mean, our school trains like that three times a week. Like, we're prepared for it now. So whenever they come into town, they want to do all the conditioning and stuff, we can do it all day. It's good, and it's good that we had the general manager of New Japan come unexpectedly, which was a big honor to have him there, Michael Craven, as well as Farley-san. But yeah, they came down to the tryout. They seemed really impressed. Like, they said, he said he didn't come down for a talent scouting trip, but now he's going to have to go back to the office and tell him about all these guys that he's seen. it was good. But even stuff like, I asked Farley-san ahead of time, because I mean, I did the last tryout and we got selected for the New Japan Australian tour that they did it. And I said to him, is there any point in me doing the tryout? And he said, no, you're already on my list, kind of thing. But I went and did it anyway, just because the general manager was there and I thought it was important for him to see us as well. So yeah, totally unprepared, just went and did the tryout. And yeah, we just blasted through it, because like I said, it wasn't any harder than what we do at training every week.
Yeah, I saw a post you'd put up saying just do the tryouts. Just, you never know what
yeah, do the tryouts, you big dumb bitch, yeah. Well, you never know what's gonna happen. Like, the thing that people miss about these kind of tryouts is they think that the best wrestler gets picked. It's not the best wrestler that gets picked. It's like if you had a TV show and you needed the father of a family who were black. You could be the best white actor in the world, but they need a black guy. Yeah. Like, you never know. Like, they might need a, or you have a, maybe the best male actor in the world, they need a woman. Like, you don't know what they're after or what they're looking for in particular. Like, you might just fit into that, that mold or that body size, or they might just like something about you that they can, they don't need it now, but in 2 months, someone just goes, oh, you know what? We need a bald army guy who dresses like Rambo. It's like, okay, we have one of those already. Like, you never know what's gonna come up. So just meeting them and getting in front of them and making a good impression is always so important. So yeah, if you can get to any of those tryouts, I always recommend it to everybody, especially if you fit. Like, it's open to people who aren't wrestlers. And I saw a couple of people in the tryout pages went up and said, oh, they say it's not for wrestlers, but only wrestlers get picked. And it's like, well, yeah, because you don't have to be a wrestler, but you have to be really fit.
Most
of the wrestlers are fit like that because they know what they're in for. They prepare for it. Whereas if you're off the street and you've never attempted to do 300 squats before, you're probably not going to get picked. They need those athletes.
I still don't think that people that watch wrestling and fans of wrestling realize that the cardio that's involved in just a normal match. You can't just go out there
and have ads, but not cardio. Yeah, so it's one of those things too. People don't understand, like, if you got to go in there for a 15-minute match, you got to be really fit. What people don't realize is that, like, I'm in Queensland right now. I live in New South Wales. Like, you've got to be able to get up at 4 a.m., get on the train to the airport, get the early flight in, catch the plane, get on the transport from the airport to the venue, get to the venue, hang around for a period of time with no fucking sleep, and then go on and wrestle at 10:30 at night against total strangers who you've had no interactions with before, in front of a large crowd. Like, if you think you're fit enough to do a 15-minute match, that's great. You're going to be fit enough to be able to do a 15-minute match after you're super tired from not sleeping the night before, traveling hours all day. And then on top of that, you get real nervous in front of a crowd or something like that that also drains your conditioning. And then you're still going to be able to perform at a top level. Like, if you want to be a pro wrestler, you have to be one of the fittest athletes on the planet. If you want to be a real pro wrestler, especially something like New Japan, like where those guys are so dedicated to their conditioning and fitness and stuff like that, they're just nuts.
I don't think that people realize, and even guys like in the wrestling business, I don't think a lot of them have this dream where, like, I'm going to get picked up for the Fale Dojo and then I'm going to go to New Japan, I'm going to do that, and then I'm just going to be on shows. I don't think they realize the stuff that the young boys have to do over in New Japan.
Talk to Carter Deems or Tyler Payne about that. They went and did the 3-month in Fale Dojo recently. It was like the first day they do 1,000 squats.
Jesus.
they just do everything in their power to break you. Like there's just, they just try to make you quit and go home, because they just want to see how badly anybody wants it. So once you've come out of there, you can do anything.
Yeah. So Fale Dojo would be pretty much the perfect, like, precursor to the actual New Japan Dojo.
It's an official New Japan Dojo.
Yeah.
They don't mess around. There are two New Japan dojos outside of Japan. One's in Los Angeles and one's in New Zealand. Like, you think about how close New Zealand is to us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's definitely an amazing place to, if you want to go to New Japan, I would be going to the Fale Dojo.
Now, I heard something you haven't heard about this. I haven't talked to you about it yet. I heard something this week from somebody, and I don't want to say who it was, but there was a training school out there telling their students to not do, they don't have to do any other seminars because everything they'll learn will be right here at this school. Can you just explain how wrong that statement is? Because I can explain it, but everyone's going to say, well, he's just a manager. He doesn't know how to wrestle anyway. So coming from an actual wrestler, I just want someone to explain this.
Okay, yeah, sure. So, who would be the best wrestling trainer in the world? Like, I don't know. Let's just, for argument's sake, say that Lance Storm could teach you everything you needed to know about wrestling training. So you go and train with Lance Storm and you stick with Lance Storm. Now, the guy who goes and sticks with Lance Storm and only stays there, or the guy who goes and trains with Lance Storm and also trains with the Dudleys, is going to know everything that Lance Storm taught him, and he's also going to get a better perspective from the Dudleys. So which one's going to be better? It's going to be the guy who did both. The more masters you can train and study under, the better you're going to be. And the thing that I always tell our rookies and stuff, or when I go in and train a different class, is I might do things different to your normal instructor. While I'm in charge of the class, please do things how I say. And then afterwards, if you have a different way of doing things, you have two ways of doing things.
Yeah.
And you can make a choice for what suits you better in different circumstances. If you can learn everything from one guy, that's great. But you should also go and check out what other people have to say. You'll be better for it regardless. They might have one small minute tip that might just add a little bit to whatever it is that you're talking about. But that being said, now you'll be better than the guy who didn't go to that second training school. I've been to dozens of training schools. And I have the ones that I think are the best, but I'm definitely a lot better for having gone to all the different training schools rather than just sticking with the one good one. And also it gives you versatility. One of the main strengths I have is the fact that I'm trained by luchadors in Chikara. I'm trained by WWE style guys in Booker T's. I'm trained by Japanese style guys under the seminars that I've done with Gato and with Fale and with different guys like that I've worked with. Like, you just, I can work with anybody under any different circumstance because I've trained under a number of different styles. It's not that any of the styles are better than the other ones. It's just that they're different, and the ability to do multiple things just, you know, makes you that much better. So, yeah, if you think you should only train with one place, then that's just crazy.
Yeah, it makes you a more well-rounded wrestler.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And even just working with different people. Like, because, like, there's different skills, right? So if you get used to training with the same people all the time, you'll have real good matches with those people. What happens when you want to get out there and you know, if you want to go to America or Japan or England or something like that and wrestle with people you never wrestled before? Like, how do you – you've never wrestled somebody cold before. You've only ever worked with people who you know inside and out. It's totally going to change the dynamic. You need to get used to that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Like, you need to get used to challenge, like taking those kinds of challenges on, so that when you get thrust into an opportunity or a situation where you have to wrestle somebody different, you can already be comfortable doing it.
Yeah. So to tell everyone, like, this weekend up here in Queensland, we've got the Pro Wrestling League, and Mick Moretti is doing a seminar for that one. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Get out there, and if you're in Queensland, find a way to get to this seminar, and you will learn so much from this guy. I mean, I don't know how much more I can say about how good, like, Mick is, not just in ring, but also character-wise. His work in that is amazing as well.
Yeah, for sure.
You've got a big match against Mick. How different is it going from tagging with him? Because you've been doing a fair bit of tag team work with him recently to now sort of like working with him. Do you know what I mean?
We're the PWA tag champions at the moment. So we've got to wrestle each other. I mean, it's one of those things where you know, it's just, we know each other very well. We work together a lot, so it's a chess match. Like, it's not going in there and throwing everything we can. It's like, I know that he knows how to counter my moves, so I've got to do my move and then wait for his counter and then counter his counter. Like, it's going to be a very deliberate back and forth match. Just because he's not going to be able to throw it anything at me that I don't already know, and there's nothing I'm going to be able to throw at him that he doesn't already know.
You're ready for the headstand?
So it's going to. Yeah, of course. Well, I'll tell you now. If he tries to headstand me, I'm going to ankle lock him. You watch it. He puts his ankles on my shoulders. I'm going to ankle lock him. Just wait. It's what'll happen. And then he'll roll through and throw me into a corner, and then he's going to come in and try to monkey flip me. Look, I'm just telling you, I already know how all these things are going to go. You just need to be able to – it's just really down to who can outthink the other one.
Also, I have to give PWA props for that promo you guys put up this week about that match. It was – I'll tell you what, it gets the blood pumping, really gets you out there wanting to see that match afterwards. Especially that phrase, we're like brothers, but we're brothers that like punching each other in the face. I love that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that we always describe ourselves as. Like we're like brothers, and it's just one of those things where if somebody else picks on your brother, you're going to kill him. But at the same time, you know, he's a little fuckwit, and I've got to smash his head in sometimes. So it's just the dynamic of our relationship. He's a line stepper. He steps over the line habitually, and it's come to the point in time where I need to put him back in his place.
All right. So what?
The promo videos are going fantastically. We did that cold too. Like, we didn't know what the other one was going to say. It just kind of fell in that way. And then the promo guy worked his magic and put it all together. But they've all been great. Like, I put out videos against anyone's anywhere, including WWE, a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the last year, they've stepped up so much in the way of like just hype.
Well, it's really, like, you got to look at a few things. Like, I think we spoke last time about the importance of atmosphere in a venue. Like, if anything, the atmosphere of the venue is more important than the quality of wrestlers. We got professional guys to film our shows with professional cameras.
Mm.
We've got a professional-looking venue. It's not an RSL club. It's not a community hall or a basketball court. It is a venue designed for events. like our one, with proper lighting and proper sound and everything that we need. We have a professional editing guy doing our videos. Like, it's just, you know, it's a gamble and it's a risk because, you know, you can't hire this place for $250.
No.
You know, like a lot of places do shows like that and they're like, well, I hire it for $250. I'll just kind of set up a camcorder and use my phone. I'll get one of the rookies to operate it and I'll get one of the, you know, and I'll edit it myself. And it's like, okay, so just in case nobody shows up, the worst that happens is I lose $500. But then you get that as a result, you know. Yeah, so exactly. These kinds of things, it's like the show might, you know, we have to put up $5,000. We're gambling $5,000. And if it doesn't work, we lose $5,000. But if it does work, well, this is what we end up.
And your turnaround time between,
turnaround time's insane. Yeah, that's just funny. That's just the video editing guy fucking with Mikey J.
Yeah.
That's just him calling him out because they did their show on like, they released one in like 4 days. And so he's like, screw it, I'm going to do it in 3 days. And then he did it in 3 days and tweeted at him.
Yeah. I think the,
so that was just it's a friendly rivalry there, that they've got. It's just good because it pushes up the quality of both places.
I think SPW did the same thing this weekend as well.
Oh, did they? Yeah, I'll have to tell them. I'll dream up. See if we can get up in 12 hours.
You want it the next day?
Yeah, next day. We get the footage straight from the venue. He doesn't go to sleep.
Jack Bond, you want to let people know where you've got coming up so they can catch you and see you out there and catch one of the best wrestlers in this country?
Yeah, well, I don't suppose that this is going to be out in time, but
it'll be up tomorrow morning, mate.
Oh, then yeah, tomorrow. Friday, 22nd of February. Fight for Black Metal, the final of the Coliseum tournament. It's going to be fucking massive. We've done a couple of things. Hoffman isn't on Twitter and he won't listen to this. So what we did was I put out a tweet that just said, hey, would anybody have any interest in me pulling a prank on Adam Hoffman where I change his music to Blue by Eiffel 65? And because obviously it's the Blue Nation. Mm. So we got a lot of response from that. And I thought, screw it. I set up a charity link for Beyond Blue. They do a lot of work with depression, anxiety, and trying to deal with those kinds of issues and suicide and stuff like that. So I said, if we raise $500, I'll do the ribbon. I'll change his thing because he doesn't have Twitter. He doesn't see it. He's not a social media guy. So it'll be. We raised. I said $500. I should have asked for more. We raised it in 3 hours. I should ask for more. And then they're just kind of like, oh, maybe we can have like a stretch target. And they're like, okay. So I pushed it up and I said, if we hit this other target, then me and Mick will amp up our entrance. We'll do like big dressed up entrances and we'll throw some extra stuff into it. And we're going to reach the goal. So the entrances that Mick and I have will just be a bit, it'll add a lot to the feel of the Coliseum tournament. It should be a big thing. So yeah, be one of those things, especially too, because like to us, this is one of our crowning achievement events. Because you know we've kind of just in the last year or so, PWA has really picked it up in Black Label, and this is kind of our show arriving in our head. Because there's no big interstater, there's no big international, there's nothing like that. This event is purely relying on the backs who live in New South Wales, who train with our group. This is just our guys. Like, we don't even have Robbie on it because he's working for New Japan. And it's already, tickets have sold faster and more for this event than we've had for any of our other shows except for the one where we had the cage match with Robbie, with Ugg and Jonah.
Yep.
And Robbie versus Will Ospreay's second match. That's the only event we've had that's beaten this event in terms of ticket sales and the speed for which we've had these ticket sales.
Wow.
So this is just us trying to like just showing the where the draw here. It's not the only reason we're drawing isn't because of the internationals or anything like that. That's because of our hard work and the quality of our shows.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you want to give out your social medias and all that so people can follow Jack J. Bonzo?
Sure, it's all Jack Bonzo. No one's ever stolen my name ahead of time or anything. So you go to Twitter, it's at Jack Bonzo. Instagram, it's Jack Bonzo. Facebook, it's Jack Bonzo. Yeah, those are the only three ones I have, I think.
Awesome. Well, best of luck.
So you catch us on Twitch. PWA started doing Twitch stuff. There's going to be a pre-show. tomorrow night as well. It'll be a live thing with our hostess, who's going to do like, it's going to go for about half an hour. It's going to be a full pre-show where she runs down all the matches ahead of time. That'll stream live on Twitch Thursday night at 7 PM.
Is that like
so if anyone wants to tune into that as well?
Is that like a little tester to see how you go doing stuff with streaming, or?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to build the Twitch. Like, we put up about it. A lot of the guys are gamers and stuff, so it's just easy. But yeah, we're starting to do stuff like that. There'll be a debate between Tree Hugger Lucci and Big Fudge at some point before they do their little election for sanitation commission. That'll happen live on Twitch, and fans will be able to ask questions and stuff. But yeah, the pre-show is just something that they put together. They wanted to try out, but it should just add to the hype of the event, I think. So it'll be good, and also especially if we have new people who will come, and it gives you a good background on all the matches and all the stuff that's been happening with us recently.
Yeah, exactly. Jack Bonza, thank you so much for coming on, mate.
Yep, no worries. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, buddy.
People say having an opinion is like having a penis. It's really great for you, but you shouldn't share it around. That's exactly what we don't do. We share it all about the internet. And in fact, we advertise it on other people's podcasts so that they can go and enjoy it as well. Am I talking about penises, or am I talking about opinions on film? To find out, you'll have to go to our website, secondtakepodcast.com, or find Second Take Podcast on your podcatcher of choice.
Well, I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Yeah, I don't usually do these views from the East too often, only when I sort of have something that's sort of stuck in my craw and I get mad about, or something I really like, so I want to talk about it. This one, unfortunately, is something that gets stuck in my craw. I mentioned in the Bonza interview that I'd heard through the grapevine that a wrestling school had told their students that they didn't want them doing any seminars because whatever they'll learn, they can learn as much as they need to learn from this school, and you don't need to go anywhere else. And to me, that is utter bullshit. Let's just face it. That is there's no way to learn, because you're learning one way and one way only, and that's not the way to learn professional wrestling. It's not the way to hone your skills, not the way to become the most rounded competitor you want to be or you can be. Don't get me wrong, the school might be great and might be teaching you everything you need to know, or everything you think you need to know about professional wrestling, but you can always learn something from seminars. You can always learn something picking the brains of people that have been around longer than you. So go out there, go to any seminar you can get to. If you're in Queensland, get to the one this weekend with Mick Moretti. If you're in, I think Damien Slater's doing one in Hunter Valley. I'm not too sure, though. Don't quote me on that. But definitely get to that one. Damien Slater's unbelievable as a worker, both technically and aerially and entertainment-wise, if you know what I mean. Same with Mick Moretti. So that's another one. Anything you see, anytime you see there's a seminar going on and you can get to. Find out what you can do to get there, because everything helps. Every little tool you can find to put in your toolbox will help you out down the road. There is no one way of doing everything here in professional wrestling. There's a way that you might find out from a seminar that you see is easier for you to understand or easier for you to grasp than what you learnt the other way. And that could help you in the long run. It's like Bonza said in the interview, there is no way you can just learn from one place and then go in cold into a match with someone that you've never met before and you don't know anything about to be able to work out how to do something, how to put a match together. Like, there might be one way to put a match together, but there are hundreds of different ways to do it. And doing these seminars, you're going to learn these things. Anyway, that's it for me for this Views from the East. As always, my name's Todd Eastman. And that's my opinion, and you're all entitled to it. It's now time to find out where the action is around the country. And on Saturday night in Victoria, Showdown Wrestling at the Reggio Calabria Club. I hope that's right. Main event for that one is Dowie James versus Sid Parker. It's going to be a great matchup there. Also on the card, Mitch Waterman, Nick Bury, Slade Mercer, and Erica Reed. Many others on there. Tickets for that one are at outtix.co. That's outix.co. So get there and support that one in the Reggio Calabria Club. Also, PCW have their Ignition shows at the Southeastern Entertainment Centre down at Fern Tree Gully. Tickets for that one are at pcw.com.au. In New South Wales, our guest for this week, Jack Bonza, is at PWA Black Label, Fight for Black Metal. It is, of course, at Max Watts in Sydney. It is the finals of the Coliseum Tournament. Jack J. Bonza against Mick Moretti, the Rapscallion. And also a PWWA number one contenders match, it's easy for me to say. Candy Lee versus Jessica Troy versus Xena versus Belle Pierce. That'll be a great matchup there. Also, on the show, Mikey Broderick, Tree Hugger Lucci, Ricky South, Unsocial Jordan, pretty much everyone from the PWA crew. I think the only one who's not going to be there really is Robbie Eagles, and that's because, well, poor guy has to go to Japan and wrestle for New Japan Pro Wrestling. What are you going to do? Tickets for that one on Friday night is at prowrestlingaustralia.com.au. Also on Saturday and Sunday night, Hunter Valley Wrestling has their James Storm doubleheader. It is on Friday, Saturday and Sunday night at Club Maitland City. Also on that show, Damian Slater, Gavin McGavin, Slade Mercer, Izzy Shaw, Tarly, and many more. Tickets for that one are at moshtix.com.au. In Adelaide, ACW have Rise to Glory at the Estonian Hall. Adam Brooks versus Rocky Monero for the ACW Championship. It's going to be a great match. Those two, every time they step in the ring, it is an absolute melter. I do not expect it to be any different tonight, or on Saturday night, sorry. Also on that show, Lockie Hendricks, Richie Taylor, Riley, James Cruiser, Joe Mundy, Jack Rosley, and many, many more. Tickets for that one are at trybooking.com. And also, I love the Estonian Hall, so get out there and check out that venue. It's a great, great venue for professional wrestling. And finally, in Queensland, I will be at Pro Wrestling League, Rise of the Rapscallion. I will be managing my client, Jake Nova, in the main event versus Mick Moretti and Gino Gambino for the Pro Wrestling League Championship. Also on that card, Street Revolution versus Headstrong, if you know about these two teams. That is a dream matchup for Queensland wrestling tag teams. They are two of the best tag teams to come down the pipe in Queensland in a long, long time. Also on the card, Jay Diamond versus Jackson Cross, Spaceman Dacey against Rip Riley, and also for me, potential show stealer, Rufio versus EC Diamond versus Tim Cade versus Jesse Love. Four of the most amazing talents in Queensland wrestling. Get out there and see that one. Tickets for that one are at eventbrite.com.au. That is eventbrite.com.au. Go out there and support Pro Wrestling League. They are really doing things the right way in Queensland wrestling. Also, remember, any promotions that want their show mentioned here on Where the Action Is, hit us up on our Facebook or email me at WrestleRadioAustraliaTodd@gmail.com, and we'll mention you on an upcoming episode, or book me and I'll definitely mention it because that's what I do. And that is Where the Action Is this weekend. Once again, big thanks to my guest, Jack J. Bonza. Like I said, coming in at the last minute and saving the day. And, of course, always have great chats when I get to sit down and talk to Bonza. Like I said at the start, one of the smartest guys in the business, one of the smartest business minds in the business. Thank you very much, sir, for coming on and having a chat to me. If you haven't already, guys, though, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free. You can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word like we spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Radio Australia, and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. Also, that is all on Instagram at WrestleRadioAU. Don't forget, Redbubble.com is our Wrestle Radio Australia t-shirts. Any sale, t-shirts, hoodies, pretty much anything you want to put your WRA on, you can. All proceeds from that go to support Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life. These are two charities that I know Bonza gets behind and we get behind here at Wrestle Radio Australia, all to support fighting anxiety and depression. And especially with Gotcha for Life, they go out to schools and they talk to young boys about, getting, just being open with your feelings and then talking about stuff so you don't let stuff bottle up and it doesn't come to that point where you don't think there are any answers and you can't continue. And that is so very important because we lose so many young Australian men, or so many Australian men each day to depression and anxiety, and we need to sort of stop that shit because that's not cool. So yeah, any sales from the Wrestle Radio Australia t-shirts go to supporting Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life. And to send us home, Promo Land this week, we talked about it a bit on the interview. This is Jack Bonzer and Mick Moretti hyping up their fight for black metal. Go out there and support it this Friday night at Max Watts in Sydney. But until next week, I'm Todd Eastman, and this has been Wrestle Radio Australia.
As a team, Michael and I have accomplished great things. We've defeated Mustache Mountain. We took on the Bullet Club. We defeated the Velocities and made the PWA Tag Team Championships one of the most sought after and important championships, not only in PWA, but in all of Australia. Then the Coliseum tournament happens. It's a singles tournament. We came as far as we could as a team. Maybe this is as far as we can go.
The thing about Michael.
See, Bonzer and I.
He's like my little brother.
We've got a relationship that's kind of like brothers.
I love him.
We're a little bit like family.
I would do anything to protect
him. And brothers occasionally.
But sometimes, I need to kick his head.
They like to beat the crap out of each other. Us especially. See, I found they're a little bit different, Bonzer and I. We're a little bit order and chaos. You see, he's so serious, so angry, so sincere, so tactical, so pragmatic, so disciplined. And me? Well, I'm a little more known for my happy-go-lucky attitude. I'm a little bit more cheerful, more unpredictable, more chaotic. I like a prank, a trick, a game. And this game, Bonza, this game is my favorite. See, because your biggest letdown is your ego. The very same ego that makes you parade around like you're better than everyone. Like you're better than the very team that you're a part of. You act like the leader of the entire Four Nations, when really, we're all equals. That very same ego is the whole reason that this particular tension has been born. Because I saw an opportunity. The crowd booed you, and the crowd cheered for me. Don't blame me, Bonza. Blame your ego.
See, this game comes to a head when we fight in the tournament final.
I get to show that I'm the best technical wrestler in Australia.
You see, Bonza doesn't very much like my game.
I get to show Mick this isn't just a game.
See, he knows that I'm unpredictable.
I get to show that I am the best wrestler in the Four Nations.
Your ego will tear you apart inside. You will crumble.
Also, I really want that fucking sword.
And then I'll win the game.